Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Is This Going to Cause an Argument? It's a bi-weekly podcast that is hosted by me, Angel Akita Moore, also known as That Chick Angel. Tell them who you are, baby.
Marcus Tanksley, host, also
he is also
the podcast.
A host of the podcast. He is also, and more importantly so, my husband of almost 12 years, the father to all of my children. There's three and then are walking this earth, and I'm sure there is a fourth somewhere in the stratosphere waiting for us to call her into our home.
Don't make no sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. This podcast can be found on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. It's a podcast all about what's on our minds. It's about relationships. It's about family. It's about hot topics. It's about politics.
About me adjusting in his chair.
About goals, all of that stuff. We talk about it. And our podcast is called Is This Going to Cause an Argument? Because a lot of times me and my husband do not agree. And we're going to argue about it. And we're going to argue about it in front of you, in front of whoever else we want to.
They're going
to
watch our techies L's.
I don't take L's. I don't take L's. That never happens. And we love to have you all weigh in on who you agree with. I mean, sometimes we do agree with each other. Actually, we do a lot of times. But yeah. Other times, he's wrong and I'm right. And that's how we have to move forward. You know what I'm saying? So, please rate this podcast. Go ahead, rate it now. Believe in Jesus that you're going to enjoy this and give us 5 stars on iTunes, Google Play, all those places. You can also follow this podcast as the visual of it on my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV. And you can find me on every single social media platform under That Chick Angel TV. Tell them where they can find you, honey.
Y'all can find me here on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can find me on the vlog.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That's it. Yes. Actually, somebody is going to be getting an Instagram account very soon. Yeah.
I actually have one, but
one that he's actually going to use, and you're actually going to see him on. I'm going to help him with it. And
yeah, I'm not a social media person. Yeah, yes,
and I'm going to help him with it.
Most of y'all know that.
I'm gonna have to watch your DMs. Okay,
don't worry about my DMs.
I'm gonna be up.
What's
in
a
them.
DM?
Exactly. Don't worry. You don't need to worry about that. You worry about your post, and I'll worry about them DMs. Okay.
Hold on. Is that direct message?
No, that's not what it means at all.
But is that what it is?
No. Mm-mm. That's not what it is at all.
Yeah. I'll figure it out. I'm all about this money. I care less about social media, but that's going to be part of my money. So
give him a suggestion for a handle. You know, my handle is at That Chick Angel. Give him some suggestions.
Y'all give me a suggestion? Yeah, y'all give me a suggestion.
At what should be. Should it be That Chick Angel's husband? I think that's appropriate.
Absolutely not.
Taken, happily married. That one's
None of
really
that.
Good. That
y'all,
one's
you
good.
You're sending them way in the wrong direction.
What'd you say?
You're sending them way in the wrong direction.
That's not sending them in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's all the way in the wrong direction.
No, it's
y'all
perfect.
Let me know.
Tank is married. Yes, it's a beautiful. So we're going to jump into the segment that we like to call What's Grinding Your Gears. So, honey.
Nah, you tell me what's grinding your gears.
What's grinding my gears is I have been sucking at the gym. That's what was grinding my gears, is that I have not been able to find a consistent way to get to the gym. Here's the issue. In my household, I have to get up my kids at 6 o'clock to get my eldest son ready for us to get out of the house by 6:40 for him to catch his bus. The gym daycare does not open until 8. That gives me, by the time we get back home, of like 35 minutes to convince myself not to go to the gym. And usually it's not even really convincing myself. I end up deciding to get other stuff done, whether it be editing or something else. So then when I should have possibly been at the gym at 8 o'clock, I am not finding myself being able to get out of the house until 11. The daycare closes at 12. So I'm doing like a 35-minute workout. So it's irritating me. I wish.
And for y'all that don't know, I'm up at 4. So I'm already out.
He's up at 4:30. The 4, you know.
4:20.
So the thing that would help, but it's, if I can find me a 5 o'clock workout, I'm going to do it. Because the thing is, my mother lives with us, but she's out of the house at 6 o'clock to go to a 6:45 Bikram yoga class. Now, mind you, it only takes us 15 minutes to get there, but she likes to be early because she's a teacher's pet and wants to find her place on the floor so she can lie down.
So people can talk her into water.
So anyways, I would like to invest my money in a class that started like 5 a.m. That's like 45 minutes so that I can, that's like not like only 15 minutes away so that I can get back here and my mother can leave out for her class on time. And then that way my workout is done. And whatever else I do in the day can be strictly business-oriented or family-oriented. So it's grinding my gears that I haven't figured out how to make that work. What's going on with you?
Something's grinding my gears is you not being in the gym. I'm just playing. you know what somewhat was grinding my gears is people not remembering that I'm not watching football. That's like the main question is, hey, you want to hook up, go watch this game? No, I'm not watching no NFL. I watch college. I'm not watching no NFL.
He's not. He's staying true to
I am. I've what been, he believes. It's been, what, how long has it been? 2 years?
It's been.
2 seasons?
Yeah, it's been a minute. He's holding true.
I'm not doing it. And the reason, and it's not like me not watching is actually hurting anybody, but when it does come up, if somebody asks, oh, why aren't you watching? Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's the main reason. But no, I'm not. You're not supporting them whatsoever. But that's like, you know, y'all know it's Super Bowl season and all that, and everybody, hey, let's go hiccup, watch this game. Nah, I'm good. And I'm sick and tired of telling the same people that I ain't
like,
watching.
God dang it, I done told you once. Don't make me tell you again. Yeah, people don't. That's like when I wasn't eating. Well, I still don't. When I stopped eating beef and pork.
Right.
People are like, you want a burger? You want a pork chop? I'm like, y'all know I done said this several times.
Why is it that when you do something that's normal, when you don't do something that's considered normal, but actually you shouldn't be doing, people are like thrown off by it?
Because we are destructive nation.
You don't drink? What's wrong with you, though?
Like, we're a destructive nation.
I mean, I drink, but yeah, that would be somebody's response to that. It's like, but why not?
Well, that's like when I say I've never smoked weed, people are like, really? And I'm like, I have never seen a benefit to me smoking weed. Like, it actually just doesn't sound like I'm gonna have a good time at all. So nah, I'm good.
I'm born and raised Lexington, Kentucky, and when I tell people, find out I don't eat pork no more or beef, they're like, what? Why not? Like, have you seen your family?
Right.
Like, you see how they be dropping like flies? Like, that's why. That's part of the reason why. Have you seen you? No.
You are stupid. So that's what's grinding your gears. It's people not realizing that when you take a stance, that's what you've taken.
Yeah, it actually may benefit, most likely to benefit me.
Yeah.
And possibly them.
You know, everybody gets to where they're going to get to as far as in their evolution on their own time. And sometimes that part of them is not going to evolve. And that's not any shade. Like, there are parts of me that possibly will never evolve into what it was potential was. And it's sometimes hard for people to even like put focus on the stuff that you're focusing on. They're like, what? What are you talking about? Anyways, let's jump into the topic of the day. Today is a heavier topic, and it's something that we never really touched on when these movements began. The Time's Up movement was founded in 2018, actually January 1st of 2018, and it was a response to sexual harassment that happens in Hollywood specifically. In this industry, I'll get to it. Let me move to the other part of it.
Yeah.
Also, there's the Me Too movement, which actually has had a way longer history. It's been around for almost 13 years. It was founded in 2006, and it was a movement to help survivors of sexual violence, especially Black women and girls and women of color from low wealth communities, and helping them to find their healing. I'm actually looking at the history and vision on their website so that I'm not giving you all any mis- miscommunication, misinformed information from my end. Now, me and Marcus never really talked about this, and I actually have conversations about this a lot of times with close female friends. Marcus and I have had some discussion about it, not on the podcast, obviously, but our own conversations. And last year, especially, there was reckoning happening all over Hollywood.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
I mean, men were getting
shutting shop down.
Men were getting fired left and right.
A lot of them fired off like an allegation.
Well, you know, it's
stemming from the like magnitude of things that's happened prior to then.
Yeah, it's. Let me tell you, it was like, I'm telling you, it was like a fire sale. That's what it felt like. But to be honest, in this industry, you know, when you work at a regular job, you just go to HR if people are acting a fool. It really never felt like there was any place to go here in Hollywood. Right. For those of y'all who don't know, I am an actress by trade. I work on television all the time. So when things don't go right, when you feel like there's injustices happening, it really feels like there's no one to tell that is going to fix the situation, especially if the person who is in power over the project that you're doing is the one causing the injustices.
Yeah.
So
granted, that does happen in like regular, like outside of Hollywood as well, but I wouldn't think it would happen to the magnitude of what happens in Hollywood, because eventually if you have like the top level executive at some firm that's doing people wrong, eventually I feel like that would come down a lot quicker on him than it would like Harvey Weinstein or somebody.
Absolutely. That stuff is
eventually it would catch up with him quicker than it would somebody like him.
Yeah. 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 The reparations for sexual harassment, I feel like in corporate America is typically faster. Not to say that there aren't people who are getting away with all types of crap,
right.
But you know, I think it's easier to file lawsuits because there is a record of you went to HR and you complained.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
documented.
Saying?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, who, you know, you gonna tell your agent, your manager, who you gonna tell? They trying to get a check just like you trying to get a check. So seeing all these men go down for some things that were just the most outrageous stuff that you would ever think a human being would feel comfortable doing, to some things that you're just like, oh, that does, you know, in my head, it's like, oh, that's not the worst thing I've ever heard. But it was just like, nah, the day has come where little stuff is no longer going to be tolerated. Yeah. Things that people have considered to be just like, oh, just fun and games. Mm-hmm. Fun and games is now over.
Yeah. And granted, there are poles to that whole thing, too. It's like you do got some that I can't remember who the actor was, but it was like somebody was accusing him of saying something like ridiculously absurd, and like other people, including women, were in the room, was like, that's not how that conversation went at all. Like, you got those people seeking attention.
I mean, now here's the thing.
I know that's what their topic ain't going at. This is where like it's not going to, but you do have those as well.
It's rare. I will say, I remember when I was working on ER, we had to do a sexual harassment course. Well, not a course, it was like a meeting. And they brought up a lawsuit that a writer had put up against Warner Brothers, who was on, I think, Friends. Well, I think it was a popular show, that said that she had been sexually harassed in the writer's room. And then after investigation, that was not the case. It was, you know, in the midst of writing, and they're trying to come up with this, like, I guess, like kind of sexual endo joke to go into the script. That was what the language was around. None of the language was directed towards her. And so I think Warner Brothers won like a $2 million lawsuit against her. Like, she was sued for $2 million. I was like,
that's
whoa.
Crazy.
And so they were like, we take.
Yeah, like, how you pay that? Like,
I was like,
you can
oh.
sue me for $2 million all day. All right.
Bankruptcy. That's what I'm filing. So they were just saying, we take it very seriously on both ends. If it's a true allegation, we
now,
will.
See, I didn't know that was like a thing.
Yeah. I remember that from many years ago. I was like, God dang. But that's also a kind of a form of intimidation, though. You're just like, unless I can really prove this, you all might come after. You all might come after me in a way that I will not be able to recover. So statistically, it is said that it is very rare, and I mean very rare, for a woman who has been accused of sexual assault to lie about being sexually assaulted. And the reason why a lot of women don't come forward, because I know a lot of people with the whole Bill Cosby thing, they were like, why you wait so many years? And I'm sure they were
There's
both.
There's no way to go.
But they say a lot of women don't come forward because they don't, one, they're ashamed, and two, they don't think they will be believed. And it's refreshing, even though if I were to step back, being that I'm raising three black boys, that makes a big difference to me. The fact that I'm raising three boys.
Huge difference.
I know it is our responsibility, one, to make sure they respect women the same way they respect me. That there is no liberties that they can take just because they're a male when it comes to a female, that the respect has to be high, and when they're especially pursuing someone, that they're not doing it in a way that would make a female uncomfortable, or when they're in the workplace, making sure that they are being professional. I know that is my job as their mother and his job as their father to set what decency looks like, what it means to be a decent human being.
Right.
Now, what I will say on the flip side of that is that our country and its history via the lens of racism and race in America has had a history of white women falsely accusing, and this especially in the history, like during the Jim Crow South days,
right,
falsely accusing black men of aggressive behavior. And to the detriment all the way to death for right. that black man. Yeah. If we look at Emmett Till.
That was one that gained national and global recognition. However, there are thousands of stories like it.
So for me.
That didn't get. Yeah.
So like, for me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
No. That didn't get that type of attention. And, you know, this woman's in her 80s, 90s, however old she is. She on her deathbed talking about she lied. I'm like, burn in hell.
For
eternity.
So for me as a black woman, you know, I feel like I'm at the age and at a point because of dealing with I've had family members that have dealt with sexual abuse. I have, you know, family members that are survivors of sexual abuse, that I have a clear understanding of, one, I don't want that to ever happen to me, and two, how if I want to be able to heal, the ways that I would need to move forward. But then on the flip side of the coin, I am very cautious for my boys so that they hopefully will never be in a situation where, one, they would ever do that to a female or a male or whomever, and two, that they're never set up in a situation where someone could potentially falsely accuse them. And because you don't recover. I don't know of any man that truly recovers from being accused of being a sexual harasser, and they are then tried as one, and then, you know, whether they be acquitted or whatever, you don't come back from that. That's still a stain on you, just like with Nate Parker. People are like, he is a rapist. That's the dude who did
Yeah, I know.
They're like, he's a rapist. Now, he was acquitted in the court of law.
Right.
But they're like, people are very adamant about that. But, you know, to the same token, I believe R. Kelly is surely a pedophile. He was acquitted. But when I see a videotape and that looked like a 14-year-old girl, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking the court of law got it wrong. And so, you know, that's what people think about Nate Parker. But again, it's something that you don't get to bounce back from. So it's a thing of, for me, raising these three young black boys, I'm just like, dear God, I don't want them ever to be a predator, but I also don't want them to ever go through someone falsely accusing them
right.
of behavior like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and chime in.
I don't know. It's, I mean, yeah, you said a mouthful.
I did.
I was like, I'm going to let you lead on that. But yeah, I agree. It's like you have to be cautious and careful
of what you say and how you say it to people. And two, you have to be, you have to have sympathy for people as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and like she said, like not putting yourself, like it's been times where I was like, I'm not going into this situation, however, because I don't trust the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be as simple as taking a walk with a coworker.
Mm.
It's like, you know what? Let me have a couple more people come. Just because I don't know that person like that. You know,
right.
It's like, I don't really know you like it, you know?
Right. No.
Not to say I look at everybody like it. However, you gauge people, you know, it's, you see people that like conflict and, you know, and it's just like, let me not go into this argument, or let me not go into this situation or something, like not an argument, but like disagreement or debate.
Mm-hmm.
With this person here and now, let's wait until we're in a public environment or surrounded by other colleagues, something like that. You know, it's just about being cautious. That's my only thing is, so, you know, you're protected and that other person, they feel protected or they can't come back and say something, you know, that the majority of the people.
Well, you know,
I went the wrong way.
Everybody wants to feel safe. Nobody wants, listen, women don't feel unsafe because of, well, I would say majority of women don't feel unsafe because of unrealistic reasons. Like a lot of times men can walk through a car down a dark alley. I mean, not like too dark, but walk from the club to the car without feeling like someone is going to try to abduct them and rape them. Women feel that type of way because that crap be happening to folk. Yeah. So it's a reasonable response to feel as a female, like I don't know if I can trust this person or who can I trust. But I do think there's an accountability that men have definitely just men have had so much power, especially in this country and all over the world. You look at these countries where it seems as if women are very much so oppressed. Men have felt like they could get away. Are. I mean, we look at our president, the things that he got away with saying and still elected, you can really tell what the nature of this country has been.
And we're one of the better countries when it comes to women, like and equal rights of women.
Yeah.
So imagine what it's like in those other countries where the women truly are second class citizens.
Right, right. So
they don't get a say so in anything.
So it's just like you understand definitely that this is real and this is a day of reckoning. And so I'd be like, listen, take them all down. I don't care if it's small or big, but
it's just sick when you got like 20, 30, 40, like 40 women.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not giving anybody stats right now, but then like numbers get pretty high and I'm like, what? Like you got to be a sick mind. Like, I don't know. Like for that many women to feel that valid, I guess. Yeah. Once you get comfortable,
it becomes a part of your character. Yeah. You just don't even care.
That's the normal for you.
Exactly. And I feel like it's been normalized for men to be able to act inappropriately and for women to just be able to, for women to just see it as, oh, that was nothing. You know, that, like my threshold is probably a lot greater for other people just because sometimes I have a raunchier mouth. So I don't because my mouth can be raunchy. I have a probably a higher threshold than most women. And that's reasonable. Like if you're not over here telling, you know, penis jokes just out of fun, you don't want to hear some dude telling one. You know what I'm saying? It's not appropriate, especially if it's in the work setting. You're just like, nah.
However,
that's
if you are telling penis jokes, don't be getting offended when somebody else
comes
back with one.
That is very true. That is very true.
Like, I can't believe you said that. It's like,
but you just said something about something else,
right?
So it is very much so. It's not a tightrope because it's not. It's just being decent human beings. But I do think this is a learning period for men because they have been given so many passes that they just say whatever the hell they want to and do whatever the hell they want to without any repercussion. And so it's like a reprogramming. It's like, no, you don't get to do this no more.
Yeah.
But my sister, Melissa Murphy, posted some staggering statistics on her Facebook page that just really like made me so sad. But I was like, I want to share this because I do believe one, it's something good for all women to hear, but especially for men to hear. So men can really understand how horrific life has been for so many women for so long and why Time's Up and Me Too especially are necessary, and the aggressiveness in which, especially in the entertainment industry, it's taking people's jobs, it's necessary. For every black woman that reports her rape, at least 15 black women do not report. So that means if 16 women get raped, only one woman will feel confident or capable enough to report that rape. Approximately 60% of black girls experience sexual abuse by the age of 18. 60%. That's like, obviously, more than half.
Yeah, before you're an adult. Like,
experience some sort of trauma dealing with sexual abuse. Like, that's horrible. Like, I don't even know how to, like, there's no words that can.
That's the country. It's not like older men. It's like people they're in school with.
Yeah. I mean, and I can attest that this statistic sounds right just based off of my family alone. The amount of women in my family that have experienced sexual abuse at a young age. This statistic is not wrong. According to a 2014 study, about 22% of black women reported being raped and 41% experienced other forms of sexual violence. 22% of black women reported being raped. Ugh. That's horrible. And black women students in various academic settings who reported experiencing rape, 16.5% in high school sample and 36% in a college sample. Like, you guys, it's not talked about. It was never talked about enough. And then when we look at this whole R. Kelly thing and people think that, oh, he would never do... MFs are doing it everywhere. They are doing dirty crap.
Do it. He done it.
He like, did it. He's it. Done it over and over again. It's possible.
It was videoed.
People think just because you have money that everybody who comes in contact with you wants you like that. The hell. And even if they wanted you at first, they can change their goddamn mind.
Yeah. And the other thing is when this whole thing I can't say when it first started about like later on in its life of the whole Me Too and what's the other one?
Time's Up.
Yeah, Time's Up. It was brought to light that this country's rape culture, it has a rape culture in this country.
Absolutely.
It's like that's how the country is operated. You see it everywhere. You see it on, remember the Hardee's commercial when old girl was walking down through in the with the bikini in it? Like it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that that's put it on there, like women are, you know, I'm not trying to say women are fine with it, but it's considered a normal for them too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you get a lot of women in those closed settings and it's like everybody thinks it's normal and then they are violated, that's a problem, which it was a problem before then. But the rape culture in this country is finally being brought to light. And like, it's been even a lot of people that haven't been accused of things, men that haven't been accused of things have come out and said, you know what? I apologize because I didn't realize that I was a part of this whole issue as well, because they realize that they've said and done things. It's like people are starting to see a lot of things are coming to light. Like people are starting to see their normal activity actually isn't normal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Tony Baker, who's a comedian that me and Marcus both know and we follow, he made here lately, especially on his Instagram, he's very much so been supporting women in their rights, supporting women in being like men need to stop acting like their hands ain't dirty and like start speaking up for women, start saying things to protect women. And one of the things he said in one of his stand-ups, which just was hilarious, he was just like, I always feel weird when someone defends a racist like point of view or action. He was like, that would be like me having a conversation with women and they're talking about women's rights and equal pay, and I'm like, well, you know, sometimes though women don't get equal pay because they just not qualified. It's just like, no, you don't speak against this movement. Like, even if your point might have a twinge of validity, it's not actually helping the movement. We understand there are times where there's qualification, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about qualifications. Right. We're talking about, in this country, women don't get paid enough. In this country, there is a rape culture where women are usually the ones that fall victim to it and men are the aggressors. And to sit here and to believe that it's just, you know, well, they should have known what they were getting into. Right. You got to be effing kidding me.
Yeah, it's like we were watching it's David Letterman's one-on-one with people. I can't remember who what it's called. But he was interviewing Jay-Z, and he brought up the time where Jay-Z called Donald Trump a racist. And I can't remember exactly how David Letterman worded it, but he was basically saying, if you can call someone a racist and someone can debate it, then it's a good chance they're a racist. If it's a debate to begin with, then
right.
Most likely, you know, it is. It's like somebody calls a car red. It's like, oh, the car ain't red, but mm-hmm. is it burgundy? Then it's close enough to red, you
right.
know? Like,
right. I just wish that we were in a world where this wasn't a thing, where,
right.
you know, people just were able to have open and honest, non-disgusting conversations where men could respect the boundaries of women, where women could feel safe, where women, listen, I'm gonna be completely honest. I have heard some stories of sexual abuse that have baffled me, not just because the men were disgusting, but because I couldn't understand why the female couldn't leave the situation. And I know there's a deeper thing to that of like why they felt so scared for them not to be able to leave. So I wish we lived in a world where women felt confident enough and not scared of the repercussions of leaving a terrible situation. Because a lot of times that's why they don't leave the situation, because they don't, whatever is on the other side of leaving scares them more than staying. And that's a shame. And I don't even know. I don't know how there's what way that can be fixed. But I hope hopefully with the kids that we're raising and that people are raising, people who are good human beings, they're having these honest talks. Like I plan on having a very candid talk with my son when he's of the age of liking the opposite sex, of, you know, what boundaries really are. And regardless of what you see on TV and what romance movies look like, of the you have clear, open communication with whomever you are interested in, and you make sure that they feel comfortable around you.
Yeah. I couldn't I don't wish this on anybody. I just couldn't imagine being the father or brother or cousin, which I'm sure I might be to someone that's been, you know, sexually harassed in that way or abused. I mean, for good reason, I probably don't know.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, if it's to the point to where like sexual assault, like I feel like assault is such a strong word.
But
outside
that's what
of,
it is.
Yeah, no. I feel that. But like sexual assault, I feel like, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I feel like actual rape
mm-hmm.
and something said to offend someone should not be categorized with the same word.
Oh, you feel like there should be different words for it. But I don't know if
okay, so check this out. Just this verbiage in itself, like someone, you know, you look nice, or, you know, not that dress looks good on you, said in the wrong way, versus a woman leaving the club and getting raped, going to her car.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you. I understand where you're coming from and why you're just like, I don't see how they're the same thing. Because there are so many women that do not report rape or sexual assault, you don't know what a sleazier way of saying that dress looks nice to you, what type of feeling that could trigger in that person. You know what I'm saying? Like that person could have been subject to, could be one of the people who had been raped before the age of 18.
Uh-huh.
And hearing that dress looks nice on you could have been the precursor of their rape the first time. You know what I'm saying? Could have been what led to that. So the unwanted conversation is more than just an unwanted conversation. It leads to feeling completely uncomfortable and not being sure of what the person's intentions are after that. Because
how was it? I'm just getting clarification of this whole thing, because again, it's always better to have this conversation with women and not a bunch of men sitting around.
Yeah.
So if the conversation is not a conversation, but literally like a passing by in a hallway or leaving the bathroom, like, oh, you look nice, the dress looks really nice on you, and keep walking. Now,
Go ahead.
Okay. As comedian Whitney Cummings says, she's like, what the hell do you know about a dress to tell me it looks nice on me? The fact of the matter is that women, some women love compliments, but that still even sounds a little bit like, you look nice today is a little more appropriate.
Even that could be.
And I get it. Yeah. And sometimes in the work setting, it's not necessary. Yeah. They're not coming to dress.
No,
up
no, no.
For
I'm
you.
Not saying in the work. I'm just saying, you know, period.
Well, listen, there was a whole movie. There was a woman and she actually irritated the hell out of me. And she did a whole captured like men complimenting her on the street. And her thing was, I'm not dressed up for your compliments. I'm not dressed up for your unwanted conversation. So, I mean, now granted, I have a little bit of different point of view on how I feel about that. But the fact of the matter is that it's unwanted.
Okay, so the only reason I bring this up is because I was listening to the radio one morning and I heard this lady, she's a host of the show, and I never thought about it this way until she brought it up. Because before, I'm not saying my point of view was different or is different from yours, but I was like, yeah, it's wrong. You shouldn't say this, shouldn't say that. You know, it's all wrong. They prosecute them, blah, blah, blah. But then when I heard her talk about it and bring it up, and she was just like, look, I'm a woman. If I dress up, this is almost verbatim what she said. She said, if I take time, if I get ready in the morning, if I dress up, I am looking for a compliment. Am I looking to get groped and rubbed and just like, oh, come here, baby, hubba hubba? She was like, absolutely not. However, I'm not doing all this work for people to ignore me either. She's like, she was like, come on, people, there's a fine line. I mean, there's not even a fine line between, oh, you look nice. Like somebody tells me I look nice, and they don't come up and grab me or stare at me for 15 seconds or something. She's like, I'm not going to be offended by that. But for someone to walk up and tell me, oh, you look nice. Oh, you're beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to greatly appreciate that. And coming from a woman, I was like, you know what? It is a good point. I mean, I don't be complimenting nobody, but I'm just like, that is a good point for you to just simply just say, oh, you look nice. Or you look really nice. Or, you know, somebody has, you know, maybe you know them in the neighborhood and they have a new hairdo. Oh, I really like your haircut.
It's a little different when it's a known person. But you also have to understand, like, okay, I agree. I have kind of the same viewpoint of, if I look good, please tell me. I don't care if I don't know you. Thank you so much. It can even be a little bit on the raunchier side. I mean, I'm going to still tell you about yourself, but I'll still take the compliment. But just think, if a woman had a commute, like a walking commute, more than likely, she has been told that several times by several men as she's been walking by, of them being like, oh, you look nice, or oh, I like that dress on you. Oh, my, you know, there have been several comments from people she doesn't know about how she looks. And that can make a female feel uncomfortable. I personally am not that female. And also, obviously, if we truth be told, it does matter based off of who's giving the compliment, even stranger wise. Like if it's a homeless man that looks like he's tweaking, saying it to me, I'm going to be like, okay, we're walking fast, versus someone who looks completely sane, you know, that I have distance between. They say it, I'll be like, hey, well, thank you, you know, whatever. But because every woman is different, it's just a thing of just don't say it. You know what I'm saying? Just don't say
it. 5 years later, you know what, the men are really starting to ignore women. It's become a problem in this country for
there
about
are enough
5 years
women. No, there are enough women that, you know, that will take the compliment nicely. Save that compliment for them. If you, yeah. I mean, granted,
no, that's the only reason I bring that up, is because I, like, this was probably early last year sometime where I heard a woman say that, and that changed my whole perspective, because I was like, it's a good point though. And then it was put a little more lightly, but like, I think it was Dave Chappelle, I don't know, some comedian, they were just like, he brought up the analogy of, I think, a police or a fireman. He was just like, you know, the house is burning over there, why don't you run in there and save him? He was like, but I'm not a fireman. It was like, but why are you wearing a fireman's uniform? Yes. Talking about, you know, people dressing like extremely inappropriate. But I even heard an argument where it's like, it's no such thing as a woman dressing inappropriate. But I'm like, there's a profession called prostitution, and they dress a certain way. And if,
but still, even prostitutes deserve respect. I'm dead serious.
Until they're paid, it's like, it's all best.
No, even they would serve. It's just still, you know, men will make excuses for not just being able to control their mouth, and there is no excuse. I don't care if a woman's whole entire titty is out.
So if a woman that's standing on a corner, it's just an analogy. I'm just having, you know, a woman standing on a corner,
dressed the way, I don't know, the way they do not far from here. There's a street popular on one of these corners.
Dressed like a prostitute.
Dressed like a prostitute standing on a corner, and dude drives by and says something inappropriate. He's dead wrong.
Yes, because here's the thing. She's out there dressed like it for business. So unless you plan on doing business.
Okay, check this out. Check this out. That's what I didn't mean to say. I meant to say, so if somebody drives up to this woman and says, "What's up, baby? How much?"
That's different.
That's different?
That's different than saying, "Hey,
but what
you
if she ain't a prostitute?"
Well, that's a whole different topic. And that is not
I'm just saying that this goes back to my like dressing inappropriately.
That's
versus...
not in a like no. What I'm saying is, yeah, while she might be offended and be like, "I'm not a prostitute," there is an understanding of, oh, there's a that he can go like, "My bad, this is where
you
I come."
A uniform.
No, this is where I come to pay for booty. I thought that you were new on these streets. It's that simple, but it really is. But that's not, we're not talking about men who are trying to get paid for booty. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about men that like
to
say.
Yeah, no, I get that.
That's what I mean
No.
It's a different comp. It's a different thing. Just because a woman.
I feel like a lot of people view it that differently, though. Like if it was an executive or something and she recognized him, he walked up and said, "How much? Oh, my God, Susan, I didn't recognize you." You know, it's like, why would you think I was it? Because you're dressed like a slut. Like she was on her way to a different interview and didn't know how she should.
No, that don't happen. You're just making up stuff.
R. Kelly don't happen, but it happened.
No, R. Kelly
There's
happens.
Plenty of people saying it didn't happen.
Statistically, R. Kelly happened. I'm dressed like a prostitute
Let's do our research. We don't know what corners are prostitutes. They're high class prostitutes.
Listen, no, there has been a man that stopped me on the street. Now, granted, I'm dressed in pajama. This lets you know, men are disgusting. I was dressed in pajama pants, long pajama pants and t-shirt, going to tell, and I think I had on a hair bonnet, going to tell people, "Turn down your goddamn old music." And a man pulled his car over and was like, "Hey, honey, how much?" He did the same thing. I wasn't dressed like no goddamn old prostitute.
You don't know his flavor.
Well, listen, I know what his flavor is. Disgusting.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean.
He pays for it. Don't knock him.
And second of all, and don't pretend. Listen, don't pretend that men need a bunch to be disgusting.
No, we don't.
Exactly. So that's why I'm like, this whole conversation is mute. Women don't have to be dressed scantily clad, and men will still find a reason to be like, "That ass." She got up on sweatpants. "Look at that ass."
You already. No, that's in videos too. Don't act like sweatpants are just like, "Oh, but she had on sweatpants."
But I'm saying, no, I'm saying
chicks wear sweatpants in music videos.
But what I am saying is it doesn't take much. There's no reason. Listen, you acting like the people that Tony's talking about. You trying to come up with reasons.
No. I'm not coming up with a reason. No, you do, but the way you said sweatpants.
I'm just saying.
She could have on
overalls that are loose.
That's like me saying, but you know, the dude could have on basketball shorts and a wife beat, and she could be like, "Ooh."
But you know what I mean. I was trying to think of something that you don't really prefer me to wear. Yeah. That you're just like, you look a mess.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we got way off subject from my original point of what that radio host was saying. It's like
some women like compliments, but some don't. And so since you don't know these women, just don't give it.
Yeah.
Point blank and a period. Let's let everybody feel comfortable walking to and from their space. Maybe the compliment is just hi. I'm just saying.
Nah, don't say hi. Because hi could turn into hey.
But a
stare.
Don't do hey in a stare. I'm just
saying. No, that don't mean you did hey in a stare. It could just be hey in a like.
Women aren't crazy is what I'm trying to get you to say. Don't try
thank
to make
you.
Women.
That's what I was trying to get around. No, I'm just playing.
No, but that's how. Don't.
Yeah, women can be crazy.
They can be, but that's not what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a bunch of irrational women.
No, we're talking about those ones that have been victimized.
Yes.
And continue to be victimized.
Yes, we're not about to play this whole as a man, you just can't do shit. No, excuse my language.
Like the president said, it's a scary time for the white male.
You can. You can be a decent human being. You can say hello.
You know,
can wave.
Men can't even grope someone for going to jail. It's ridiculous.
You stop all that defending these people. They not right.
No, they ain't. But when all that started crashing down, it was like, how many was it? Like 71? Top executives in Hollywood alone or something like that.
It was
like
a
not yes, like sir. Lower ranking people. These are the men that have been doing this for like 20-30 years
riddance.
Straight.
Get your little nasty ass
and it was,
out of there.
And what's crazy is bringing, like I said earlier, is like bringing a lot of this to light, but it's just like that many men were doing this to that many women.
Yes.
And the numbers is like staggering.
So many more.
It was insane.
So many more. So, yeah. You know, let's be decent human beings and just don't say some stuff that you wouldn't want your daughter to have to hear.
Are you talking about loss of life?
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
You wouldn't, if your daughter was, if you were traveling behind your 16-year-old daughter and she was walking and some dude was like, that dress looked nice on you, you'd be like,
slit throat.
See, that's what I'm saying. So that's a way to easily gauge how you should be feeling, okay, and what your behavior should be. If you can't,
I wasn't defending that action. I was just saying.
He wasn't defending. He was doing something. Sounded like.
I compliment chicks all the time. They just giggle and smile. So what you talking about?
I hate you. You guys chime in below. And let me tell you, I send prayers up to anyone who has dealt with sexual abuse, whether Absolutely. It be female or male. It is something that is very traumatic and it does take a lot of healing. And it's not anything that anyone should take lightly. So know that my prayers and his prayers, Marcus's prayers, Absolutely. Go out to you. And again, I pray that the Lord gives you bravery to speak out against your accusers so that they can no longer be a predator to victimize other people.
And there are definitely a lot of there's a lot of help at this point if you're stuck in a position to where you don't feel like you can speak out against that person. They have lawyers, people that are willing to do some of this stuff for free, like.
Again, that's what I mean. A lot of these women have raised, these organizations, these organizations have raised money for
specifically for this type of situation. So please reach out to somebody
and mamas, let them know. Mamas, believe your kids when they say that their father, stepfather, their brother, their stepbrother is touching them.
Well,
believe.
That's a whole different subject. When family members don't want to believe that about
that's the reason why people don't speak out. That's why people don't speak out, because they're just like, they're not going to believe me and they're going to choose this person over me. Please believe your kids.
Yeah.
Believe your kids. I mean, it's very rare that they lie. I do know of a little girl that did lie, but that she is an anomaly. She's an anomaly. So believe your children. All right, guys, we're going to let you go. This has been a longer podcast, but
a little heavier than what it usually is.
But we wanted to get it out there. So let us know what you're thinking, what your thoughts are on the Me Too and Time's Up movement and all the things that have been happening with people getting fired, with the R. Kelly, surviving R. Kelly, and all those girls, young girls that went through being abused by him. Tell us what you're thinking in the comments below. Again, we will be back every other Wednesday. So come back. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. And is there anything else you want to add, baby?
Nah, I ain't got nothing.
All right.
These kids, shut up.
These kids is coming in. Lord Jesus. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. Y'all be blessed.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.